I am Arlene Ali. Today's date is February 23rd, 2008, and I am interviewing Mrs. Mary Lumpkins Hines. And the interview is taking place at Jerusalem Baptist Church. Okay. How long have you lived in Rona?
Well, it's been 50-some years, I know.
Okay.
Or more. Yeah.
More. Okay, so you weren't born in Roanoke?
No.
Where were you born?
West Virginia.
Okay.
Glen White. Glen White, West Virginia.
Okay. About how old were you? When you came here?
Oh, we went to Danville first. Mm-hmm. And I was there until I was about 8 years old. And I came here.
Okay.
So I've been here ever since.
So that would make it about 39.
What?
40. When you came to Rome.
Yeah. Something okay. Like it.
Okay.
And I was in the 40s, I believe. That's when we moved. Yeah, I'd have to go back and really calculate.
Okay.
I think it was in the 40s.
Yeah, I think so.
It was.
Tell me about your parents, brothers and sisters, if you have any living.
What is that?
I was asking you to tell me about your family, your parents, who your parents were.
Oh, they all deceased.
Oh, I'm sure. Uh-huh.
It was a family of 11 plus my two parents made 13, and all the brothers were 7 brothers. All the brothers passed, and all the children passed except the baby of the whole family and me. Just 2 left out of 11.
And where are you in the family line?
What's that?
Are you number 1?
No, sort of in the middle. It come along. Fanny, Brady, coming on about 4 or 5, and then I was in between, and then the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have a baby sister living?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the baby of the whole family is living, and myself.
Okay, how old is she?
She's about 80. 4, I think.
Mm-hmm. Does she live in Roanoke?
No, she live in Gretna, Virginia.
Okay. Okay. I'm just like overwhelmed to talk to you, but I don't know where to start. Give me some of your earlier memories of moving in Southwest. What was it like?
Well, everything was sort of run down and everything when I moved on 14th Street Southwest. And, of course, I had to learn my neighbors and everything, you know, and I learned. And then when I learned my neighbors, about all the way down the street. I knew either one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some nice neighbors, and it was quiet and everything, you know, but sort of run down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was Southwest, did it have, say, grocery stores, community stores, clothing stores, anything like that?
Well, on 14th Street, we had, I sort of jotted down something, I think, somewhere. Yeah. Let's see.
This is your time.
Oh, RP Grocery on 14th Street and, Jackson Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is gone now. It's torn down, you know. Gone. That'll and up top of 14th Street was Acid Grocery Store. Was a grocery store, another grocery store. Then come on down to Williams Drugstore on 13th Street. And, well, I give you some of Five and Dime stores on Cameron Avenue. Mm-hmm. I think was about going by name was Woolworth, McClellan's, Crest, and Grant's. I think we had about four dime stores on Cameron Avenue. Mm-hmm. And on the corner of Camel Avenue and Jefferson Street was the bank.
Let's see, is that First National?
I think it was. I think that was on account of Camel Avenue and Jefferson Street. I think that's First National Bank. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, then we had on Camel Avenue, Henry Kessler was Furs, Joseph Spiegel's, Becker's Apparel Store, and a Grand Piano Company on Camel Avenue. And you know, and I know when this dime stores was in effect, my nieces used to come from New York, and they was used to sitting down at the counter and eating a snack, you know. Mm-hmm. So they said, "Oh, Auntie, yes, sir, get us a hot dog or something, sit down. They jumped up on the stool, you know, and sit down and said, "Yes, get us a hot dog, a hamburger." I said, "You can't sit there. They won't allow you to." Why? They wanted to know why they couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, that's the way it was here in the South. You know, you couldn't sit down at the counter and eat." And I remember when they did allow you to eat, they took the stools out so you'd have to stand up and eat whatever you bought, you know. Right. You couldn't sit down. You had to stand up and eat it. It's awful.
Yeah. did you work any?
Yes, I did. I worked for, let's see. Oh, well, start out on Salem Avenue. Used to be Wright's Hotel. And Dr. Pinkett, I don't know if you heard of him, but he cured them all, you know. He made his own medicine and everything, and people come far and near and buy the medicine. It cured all, you know, everything. And then he, Dr. Pinkett had a good friend, was called Dr. Rollins. I knew him. And then Goss Brothers Dairy, where they bring milk to your door, you know. Mm-hmm. And I used to get out and get the milk from the milkman. You remember when I got out and got the bottle of milk and had my picture, made my picture getting the milk in, you know, something. And I worked for them also. I worked for the Goss Brothers. And his name was J.M. Goss, and his wife was named Evelyn. I worked for them, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you worked for them at their home, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. You worked for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, for Samuel Spiegel, the store's name, Samuel Spiegel. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, the Shell Horses were from Danville. They moved to Roanoke. I moved from Danville to, that's where I came to Roanoke, by moving with them to Roanoke.
Okay.
And Let's see.
Did they own a business or something, or just wanted to relocate here?
I just wanted to relocate here, and they had had this
You went to the silk mill.
Oh, yeah. American Visco Company. It was a big company. I worked for about 2-3 years until they closed it down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What did you do there?
Well, I was just sort of a maid, you know, took care of the bathrooms and things like that, you know.
I'm just kind of curious about that mill. I don't know much about it.
Uh-huh.
Was in Vinton.
Mm-hmm.
Where? I don't remember too much. Vinton Weed.
Vinton Weed and Company
somewhere.
Oh.
Lily's store and restaurant on Sales Avenue is right up from Gosh Dairy. You know where they had it.
What the bank?
People's Federal Bank building. I retired from People's Federal when I retired.
Mm-hmm. And, when did you retire?
Oh my God. I don't know, forgot what year it was anyway.
Yeah. In the 60s, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. 60.
Somewhere, I don't recall.
I'm trying to think. In the 70s, something like the 60s.
Late 60s, early 70s, perhaps.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of, did you go to school?
Just grade school, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that was
about sixth grade.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Grade school.
That's normal. Where was that?
Oh, and that was in Hurt, Virginia.
Hurt.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did anyone in your family attend college?
No. No.
Did you walk to school?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you ever allowed to stay home from school?
Well, hardly ever, because when it was bad weather, that's when we had to go to school. Walked 3-4 miles in the snow and all that kind of stuff, and had this little old heater to warm the school, and you had to keep your coat on to try to keep warm because it was so cold, you know, mm-hmm. in the wintertime and everything. And we had to walk all them miles in the bad weather and everything, you know. That was really something.
Okay. Describe your home life. What did you do as a little girl at home?
Oh, my.
That is going back some time.
Yeah, it is.
About it. Did you have gardens?
Oh, yes. Mom and Dad raised all the food and everything, canned it, you know. And well, they didn't freeze it because they didn't have freezers back in that day, mm-hmm. you know. But they canned and they had
Did they dry it? You know,
yeah, dried the fruits and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff, and had kills, they'd call. They'd dig a hole and put leaves in there, and then put your apples in there, fresh apples in there, and then cover them up with the leaves, and then cover them with dirt. And they'd keep, you'd go in there and dig a hole and get in there and get your fresh foods out, you know, something
really?
Like that, yeah. And yeah. And ash cake, I know you don't know about no ash cake.
My daddy used to talk about it.
did, they burn oak wood and ashes, and they rake the ashes back and take the cornmeal and make it up with water, mm-hmm. and put them cakes in there and cover them up with the hot ashes until they're brown, you know, and then take them out and scrape them, you know, and put butter on them, and boy, was it good.
Yes, it's so interesting, stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am.
I bet you couldn't feed anybody that today, not these children.
No, they know nothing about what is that.
Did you have radio when you were little?
No, won't no radio, nothing like that. No.
So what did y'all do for entertainment?
Well, they had I remember my mother used to have a accordion, and she played the accordion, uh-huh. you know. And then later on, Mama was able to buy us an organ. I used to get on the organ and play the organ, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just trying to picture, you know.
You pumped it.
Organ. Uh-huh.
That's right.
But I'm just trying to picture being at home, one of 11 siblings, on a Saturday night, all the chores were done. What'd you do for entertainment?
We would sing and play hopscotch and something like that, mm-hmm. you know, and jump rope, mm-hmm. something like that, you know. What not? You had to entertain yourself, you know,
right.
best
There's
you
no
could.
No getting lonely, for sure.
Yeah.
What'd you do inside? You know, it was cold.
Oh, my. Get in there and they raised beans, pinto beans and black-eyed peas and all that kind of stuff, and you had to take a broom or something and beat them out and then rake all that away and get your peas and get them clean, you know, and then put them in sacks, and, you know, put them away for the winter. You had your own peas, and they raised their own meat. They cattle, they had beef and hogs, raised hogs and chickens. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to no store and buy nothing like that. Only thing you went to store for was get sugar and coffee.
Okay. But Mama, what did you do for recreation when it was cold weather?
Oh, we have dance parties. We call ourselves having dance parties, you know. We'd get together, you know, the young people and dance, you know. Oh, my goodness.
So,
how about that?
You didn't mm-hmm. need radio, you had live music.
Now.
Okay. What kind of, you kind of more or less explained what kind of chores you had. Did your parents pass down any stories about their childhood?
Oh, my. I don't know. Well, Mama taught us to sew and wash and iron. She taught the boys how to cook and do cleaning, just do the chores just like the girls. Mm-hmm. Taught the boys to do that. And I remember by it being four boys ahead of me, and then I would go in the kitchen, they'd be cooking and baking the cakes and everything. And I said, learn me how to make the cakes, because I want to make me a cake. I ain't going to tell you nothing. I said, I'm going to watch you and see everything you do. I didn't tell him, mm-hmm. but I watched him, and I know how to make my cake by myself.
That's great.
Oh, my.
That is great.
Yeah.
In your house on 14th Street, did you have a garden there?
Oh, yes. I raised all kind of everything. And I had every kind of tree you can name in my backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, fruit trees?
Yeah. I had apples and peaches and plums and, what's that tree? What the figs.
Oh,
figs
great.
And everything you can name, I had it in my backyard. And I know the children used to come. They knew I worked out, you know, and they'd come here to come talking one morning. I said, I'm going to stay at home today. I'm not going to work. And I heard the children coming in and opening the gates, you know, to get in the yard to get the peaches. So I let them get out there, and they had the buckets and started picking. I stepped out the door, and I said, what y'all doing? Oh, we come to pick your peaches for you. We pick my peaches for me, you know. They were going to pick them for me.
And give them to you.
Yeah.
Of course, uh-huh. I see. And they were generous enough to bring their own bucket.
Yeah, yes.
That was really
kind
and considerate of them.
What about that? Yes, know. Indeed.
You know, I'm just so overwhelmed. These questions don't fit you. And I have not interviewed anyone your age before. I'm just kind of at a loss because they ask questions like about going to college and having extended family. None of that applies.
No.
Tell me, what was it like when you lived on 14th Street? Were you Mrs. White then or Mrs. Hines? Did you and your husband go out? Did you go down to Henry Street, say, to dances?
Tobias and I used to go.
You forgot him.
Huh?
You forgot
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I did. Well, because I was married 3 times.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And we used to go to Henry Street, and somebody used to get killed on Henry Street every Friday night. Somebody got killed. Ooh. That was awful. I was afraid to go to Henry Street.
Wow. Yeah, that could be a deterrent. But did you go to, let's say, I'm trying to think back, during that time there was a lot of references made, say, to the Y. Well, it would have been by the time you got here. To the YWCA, the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a feel for what was life like in the early 40s when you moved to Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the history that I've done is prior to that, so I haven't really gotten to the 40s yet, so mm-hmm. I'm not sure what questions to ask.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about Salem Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I know in 1915 it appeared that there were, you know, Dr. Pinkert had his hotel, mm-hmm. there was a drug store, I think there were a couple of grocery stores, there were some eating houses,
yes.
what we call restaurants,
yeah. mm-hmm.
on 14th Street. And I'm just curious as to whether it was a self-contained neighborhood, meaning if you wanted to buy groceries, you told me there were grocery stores on 14th
mm-hmm.
Street.
Yes.
So I know you could buy that, but say if you wanted to buy maybe material to make a dress
mm-hmm.
or a hat for church on Sunday, did you have to leave the neighborhood
yes.
to buy that?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So by the time you got here, it was more residential?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever, participate with the... Which church did you attend?
Jerusalem.
So you've always been a member
yeah.
of Jerusalem.
Well, that's right.
Okay. Did they do a lot of, say, willing workers, missionary type work in the neighborhood?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, what I'm going to ask you to do now, about run out of ideas, you just tell me what you want me to know.
ever since I joined the church, under Reverend Brown, E.T. Brown,
mm-hmm.
I forget what year, and then come on down to Reverend W.N. Hunter. And then Reverend D.A. Boyd, and Reverend J. Eugene Young, and now the Reverend Floyd W. Gregory, under five different ministers.
And we're still here.
Still here.
Excuse me. Do you sing with any choirs or anything?
Well, started out, I was on the choir, but something happened, I had to get off the choir, but I love ushering. Mm-hmm. I used to usher all the time, you know. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than the dwelling tents of the wicked. So I did love to usher. Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Geneva, you can help us out here. What was your childhood like here in Roanoke? What do you remember 14th Street?
Oh, my goodness.
Walking all them miles to school.
I'm curious.
We didn't have buses at
right,
the time
it's
that
the city
I started.
Bus.
That's it. We walked from Southwest to Harrison, and that was in my junior year. I mean, you know, they, what they call middle school now.
Mm-hmm. Junior high.
Uh-huh. So then before we went to Addison, and then we had to walk to Addison from Southwest. Rain, snow, or shine, you walked. And I think my senior year, we got school buses. And but the city gave us passes, and we would pay 10 cents to ride the city bus.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, you'd have to be there so early to catch the bus, and then you had to transfer downtown to another bus, and you still had to walk,
mm-hmm,
regardless. So you might as well go ahead and walk
from the start,
because we had little shortcuts, you know, out of pass, and we did that, but. Back in those days, it was so very cold, and we had winter weather that we had what you call, we don't have pants, that we had galoshes. They call them galoshes. Then, which you wore over top of your shoes.
Uh-huh.
And then you had leggings,
mm-hmm,
that matched your coat.
Right.
That you had to remove once you got to the school and take your... galoshes off and all of this, and therefore you had to be at school on time so you can redress for school. So, and then when we got buses, a lot of the kids wouldn't even ride them because we were so used to walking. We would walk in groups. This street, mm-hmm, would pick up one street and all on down until when you got to 10th Street, you had about 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
That you walk in groups. And it was fun.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What did you do as an only child for entertainment?
Well, it wasn't a lot of things that you could do. In the summertime, it was more things you could do because you go to the park, which was down here on 10th Street. Dr. Rollins was on the corner in the park, was next door. And then you'd visit each other. We didn't have telephones then like we do now. And when you did get a phone, it was a party line, and you could, when you got ready to use the phone, you would listen to other folks' conversations if you were that type of person, but I was taught better than that. You know, you're supposed to hang up. And TV... the TV went off at 12 o'clock at night, and they played the anthem when the TV went off, and so you didn't have no TV to watch. But we played. We'd gather the kids in the neighborhood, and we'd play hopscotch, and we played marbles with the boys, and jump rope. But, and then we would just talk, you know, what we would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd go to the movies, especially on Sundays. We'd get to go to movies, and we'd go to church. But you had to go to, on Sundays, and it would be a good thing if that happened today. You had to go to church if you wanted to go to the movies. And you had to go to BYPU Sunday evening in order to go to the movies. that night, that evening, you know. So that was good, and we stayed out of trouble.
BYPU. PU. Baptist.
Oh, God, I don't know. Remember the, because now they call it BTU. Baptist Training Union.
Okay.
It's more or less a training for younger people to learn how to, what to do in church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How to act and participate. We will do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to show you
that. You were a nurse. Where did you get your training?
At Burrell Hospital, and Lucy Addison High School was affiliated there.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the very first classes started out in 59, in the fall of 59, and I completed in 61. They didn't have nurses in those days. They only had supervisors and nurses' aides. They called them nurses' aides then, where now they call them nurses' assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was in desperate need of nurses. And so the city decided, I think Dr. McQuilkin was the superintendent of schools then, and he decided, he talked to Mrs. Miriam Smith and Ms. Kim Clater about starting a school. And it's a strange thing. I was working as a nursing assistant, but I also, I went there to Burrell to apply for another job that they had listed. And Mrs. Smith saw me and she said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, applying for this job." She said, "No, I want you to go over Addison and take this SAT stuff." "For what, you know?" And she says, "We starting a nursing class and you're going to be in it." "No, ma'am." And then, I mean, it went like that. Mm-hmm. That's how I got into that. But, and I nursed for 34 years.
Mm-hmm.
I nursed until Burrell closed its doors there. And I went to New York for a short period, but I came back. And then I ended up at the VA. That's where I retired from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did you retire?
93, thank you.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out a way to compare Roanoke when your mother first got here with Roanoke when you were growing up and then Roanoke as it is today.
Well, from what I can remember, when we first come to Southwest, I'll say, there were streetcars, and not as many buses as it was streetcars. You had to walk. Like we had to leave 14th Street and go to Campbell Avenue to get a streetcar.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other transportation, you know,
in between
there. And that, of course, they had going to South Roanoke. And, of course, then it was called West End.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we, except if you needed, we would go. Sometimes we would walk to town and catch a cab back. Because from the grocery, from the market, it was, you'd have so much to carry. And then they had these brown shopping bags. Mm-hmm. And this is how you carried your food, you know. You had to walk and carry all that stuff. It was hard.
What so cab companies were in existence?
Yellow Cab.
Okay.
And then was another one, Checker.
Okay.
Checker.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two I remember.
Okay.
And the upkeep of homes then was much better than it is now because you had your children to help keep the property going. And then, of course, as property, you know, it gets older and it's not up, the upkeep of it is not ongoing,
mm-hmm.
then it just goes downhill. And just like when, from that next door to my mom, Miss Austin used to live at, it was a little brick house. They had knocked that house down because it was just gone. And of course, her property. This is her house in 2006. And I want you to look at the flowers there. Mm-hmm.
That is gorgeous. I was trying to figure out, looking at it upside down, what is that? It can't be a casket, that's outside.
Now, that house was not like that when we moved there. It had no banisters. It was just an open porch. Mm-hmm. It was gray. It looked so dull. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like nothing like that. And the porch was going down. And Mother, they had all of that work done. And the wall there next up to the, you see, can you see the house up here?
I can see the brick.
Okay, well, that's all gone.
Wow.
Do you see excuse me one second. Okay, that was the brick house. But it's all nothing but land now.
Okay, I heard you mention that Jackson Avenue.
Okay, Jackson Avenue was all the way down this way.
Okay.
And R. Pete's store was top of the hill, and the railroad station is right behind it. I mean, not the railroad station, but the tracks right behind where he had his store. You come out of 14th Street and you take a right.
Is that the store they recently tore down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that building, I knew it was old.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure. No one seemed to know what it had
was a
been.
Two-story. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Why did Jackson Street Avenue? Why did it become obsolete?
You didn't have houses on Jackson Avenue. It's just like your house was on the 14th Street in the corner of Jackson Avenue. Every house was on the corner of that street.
So Jackson was more like an alley.
No, it was a street until you got to 12 and a half Street. And then it went to the left, and then there were some little houses that were on Jackson Avenue, and they faced the railroad.
Okay.
Those are the houses. You would just go down and veer off like this. All the houses were here, and this is the railroad.
So like that shotgun.
And it went all the way down to 10th Street that way. Okay.
Like the shotgun style?
Yes.
houses.
Now, there were other stores on Salem Avenue, little stores, like Acid's Grocery was on the corner of 14th Street and Salem Avenue.
And they just
A block up from there on corner 15th Street was another store. And those were the stores that way. And then if you come back down, going toward 10th Street, you had Libby's Grocery Store on one corner, and then you had it was another little store. I don't recall the name of her. Nim has it as his church now. It's a little church. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. But then the dairy, and then it was the cleaners, and then the hotel.
Dr. Pinkert's Hotel.
At first it was, mm-hmm. but it went into something else, and that was all that we had in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And when you left, except the drugstore, we did have a drugstore on 13th Street. You didn't have all those stores that's out there on Patterson Avenue now. Mm-hmm. Like the fish market, right. You know, way back. You didn't have that. It was a cleaners that you had. You could take your cleaning, you know, things you put in the cleaners. Mm-hmm. And they had a great big machine that you would put all your clothes in that had to be cleaned, pants and sweaters and all that. And you pay a dollar and a half and you get the whole thing, which just, and this is how we kept our kids' clothes clean, because if you put one piece of clothing in the cleaners, it cost you like $2 and something,
right.
Which was a lot of money then. Mm-hmm. But and then the laundromats came along.
Right.
But that certainly did help us. It's just like the dollar half cleaners now that mm-hmm. we have. But you did it on your own.
Okay.
And you cleaned your own clothes.
Was that your neighborhood racially segregated or desegregated?
It was segregated.
Okay.
Yes.
From
14, well, now let me see. All the streets from, oh my goodness, from, I didn't know too many folk on 6th Street. I started learning people from 10th Street, so I'll have to say, from 10th Street, all the way up to 18th Street was black. From Patterson Avenue to Jackson Avenue was just nothing but black people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got to Campbell Avenue going toward Raleigh Court, this is when the integrated part started. Maybe once in a while you would find a black family,
mm-hmm.
but mostly it was segregated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the schools were, I came under the segregated schools.
Yeah, I just realized, I hadn't thought about it, that until Hurt Park Elementary was built in the early 60s, there was no school in South.
No,
that's right.
No school. Mm-hmm. That area was apartments. Well, no housing apartments.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, they were torn down.
Do you remember when they were built?
Not really. It had to be in the late 50s, early 60s, something like that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't quote me because I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we didn't have, and of course, you know, you didn't have all this dope. You didn't have to worry about, we could leave our house and go all the way to town. You didn't even have to lock your door.
Mm-hmm.
You just walk out and leave nobody bothered anything. But you better not do that now.
That's true. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Did you have any strong community leaders that you...
Let me see. Oh, boy. At that time. Not really in the community then.
Mm-hmm.
No. In school, you had a few that you could rely on, but then out in the community, no, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Did you use the public library?
Yeah. Well, not often, because I'd have to walk all the way to town, or to Gainsborough.
Mm.
And that was the only library at that time that we had access to.
Right. Okay. I asked your mother, did you go to any cultural or entertaining events on Henry Street?
They didn't have, let me see here, my time. No, they had musicians that would come, James Brown and Lionel Hampton, things like that. It was more entertaining people that would come instead of the cultural type people that come. But no, that came much, much later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the jazzy street that I didn't get to do too much on. Go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Holy. Okay, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to?
Um, You can just see such a change in the city now compared to when I was in school and then when my kids came, because my kids are, I have two children that live out of town, and they're amazed each time they come home to just see the different changes.
The physical changes.
Yeah, because, you know, go to Northeast. I lived in Northeast for a short period, and a lot of us, when we have our class reunion meetings, mm-hmm. we reminisce about where we lived and how things were then. See, Fourth Avenue, that was our
street.
And then Greater Mount Zion was on Williamson Road, which is Williamson Road now.
Well, that was four.
Right, mm-hmm. but they changed the street
name,
you know, uh-huh. and everything. And so the Civic Center came along, and you hardly know the area, what really was there, unless you really, really think and go back, you know, because all these things, and when we were going to school, the little hot dog stand Gainsborough that used to come from school, Chili Beans.
I've recently heard about that. No, I don't.
Yeah, well, Chili Beans is, they had the best hot dogs, and you only had to have a quarter, and you could get your lunch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were not supposed to go there.
That was on Gainsborough?
Yes.
Each road. That's what
a block up. And this is where we were not supposed to go, of course. And we had been warned. And you know, a group would say, I'm not going to the cafeteria and eat that junk they got. Mm-hmm. So here we go. And it was one way in and one way out. And so guess who was standing in the doorway? The principal. And so, you know, she said she was going to tell our parents, that is one thing I can say about school then compared to now. All you had to mention is, I'm going to tell your parents, or I'm going to, and you straightened up. But now, the kids don't seem to, hey, tell them. They don't care. But it was a big difference then. And it takes a neighborhood to really rear children the right way. Mm-hmm. Not say I'm just taking over and doing this, but just the respect. And the kids nowadays have lost respect for each other as well as the elder and everybody else.
The support is gone.
Yes.
It's a support system.
That's true.
And it's sad. But I really thank both of you for your time and your information. This has been very enlightening.
Okay.
And thank you so much. You are my first 100-year-old interviewee that I've had.
Well, we're grateful.